Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, Mr. Keith, Professor Stoltz. A little bit chilly here in Kingman this morning. We've got a nice about 38 degree morning here. That's okay. It'll be about 80 degrees by the end of the week. Today we've been talking to folks with California, New Mexico, and a couple weeks we'll be talking to folks in Oklahoma about Route 66, the upcoming Route 66 centennial. And this morning we're going to Kansas. Kansas, when it comes to Route 66, is pretty short on miles, but it's not short on smiles. Our guest this morning is Pamela Mitchell with the Baxter Springs Chamber of Commerce, tourism there. Miss Pamela, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. I'm really excited. I enjoyed our conversation so much that since we like to inspire road trips, I thought you'd be the perfect person to help us inspire some Kansas road trips.
Well, so you mentioned that you have people from California and everywhere. So I actually just moved to Kansas from California into the little town of Baxter Springs because of my, I fell in love with it. So it's, I immediately joined everything that I possibly could that had to do with tourism because I'm obsessed with Route 66.
Well, you know, Route 66 is quite amazing, but Baxter Springs, well, you know, all of Route 66 in Kansas is full of surprises, but you know, Baxter Springs is one interesting town. You get to wander around that place and poke it into a history a little bit. I think it really surprised people.
I think so. You know, I am, we're talking about doing some murals in town and the history, it's almost hard to put a briefing on just one mural, no matter the size, because we are the, we're Route 66. We are the first cattle town, the cow town in Kansas. We have a civil war that happened right here in Baxter Springs. We have just, you name it, it seems like we have such a unique niche of things all together. It's just, it's incredibly cool. And the history is just insane. I just love it.
Well, you know, Route 66, people get myopic sometimes. They get so narrow-minded, they can look down a beer bottle with both eyes. And the only thing they see is Route 66. But Route 66 is it's the portal, and you use Route 66 to showcase what makes your community unique and special. And you mentioned murals. We've got Ray Harvey, the mural artist from Missouri. It's taken us a few years, but we've got him out here in Kingman now doing some murals. We'll have to send him your direction.
Oh my goodness, I would love that. We've actually got about three different ones we'd really love to do. So It's pretty exciting. I can't wait. When you can put history up on a great big, you know, the side of a building, and you can brief it to make it something that people can get just a gist of all the things that have happened in that town, I think it really opens their eyes to what they can experience. So it's really a lot of fun to help plan those.
Yes. Well, Ray Harvey is out of Missouri. So he's pretty well known in that part of the country, at least the eastern part of the out of the country. How long have you been in Baxter Springs?
Well, we bought a home here almost 3 years ago, and we renovated it. But I've only been here for a little over a year, where I've kind of set roots in. My husband actually still commutes back and forth. I was the one commuting for the longest time. And now he's the one that's commuting back and forth until we can wrap up all of our loose ends in California.
But you're originally from the Missouri area?
So I was born in California. I've lived in Missouri, which is probably 20 minutes away. I lived in Missouri half my life, and I've lived in California half my life, with a little bit of sliver of Las Vegas in there. And I love the Midwest. I love the history that you just can feel. And I love the people and the welcoming. Just everything is so peaceful in the Midwest. And I love history. I could just stay all day long and research. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that myself. I get sucked down some pretty interesting rabbit holes. I start out looking for figuring out how Edsel Ford ended up in Kingman, and the next thing you know, I'm reading about some house of prostitution in Jerome, Arizona. All these little threads and strings just
Yes, I know. It's
pull me in
insane.
different directions. Hey, Baxter Springs, of course. You've got a history there that even predates the arrival of Americans or Europeans, the Osage Indians. Is that the story?
So there are about, I think I want to say 11 different tribes, 10 or 11 different tribes right here in this little corner of Kansas that have a big long history. And it goes into Oklahoma, of course, and into Missouri. The cool thing about Kansas is that it's right there in the four state, especially Baxter Springs. It's the four state area. So I could throw a rock and it would land in Oklahoma if I threw it hard enough. And I'm about 3 miles or 4 miles from the Missouri state line. We're a little bit farther from Arkansas, but that just gets a little, of course, that's the reason why it became a Civil War area, is because of that location. But there is just a little bit of everything here. It's incredible.
I stumbled on something a while back, and I haven't been able to dig too much into this, but a little bit of sports history here. I understand that Mickey Mantle started his professional baseball career playing with the Baxter Springs Whiz Kids.
Yes. And he actually didn't, I don't believe he lived here, but I believe he lived just a little a ways away, I believe in Oklahoma, but yes, he did. And there's like a little hole walled in the museum here that is dedicated to the baseball history, the Field of Dreams, the I guess there were there was a very, very, very good African American team that was here that could have just, that was just insanely talented, that has a great history. I'm not a sports fan, but
No.
you can't help but love to hear these great stories of all the amazing people that were here. It's just incredible.
I've never been much of a sports fan either. I blame sports for a lot of the problems we have. We teach kids to share, and then we get excited and cheer people and pay them $1 million a year to fight over the ball. I think that's just sending a mixed message. That's just
No,
me.
I like that concept. It's we want to, yeah, I guess the teamwork part of it's in there too, though, so.
I wasn't aware of the African American team in Baxter Springs, but I was talking to Walt Reese Martin and some others down in Oklahoma. And I guess Mickey Mantle's boyhood home is down in Miami, Oklahoma. But yeah, that really intrigues me. The African American teams, that's got to be kind of unusual for that part of the country in those years.
And I don't have a great history on it. I actually just heard it at our meeting yesterday from one of our very well-loved residents that have been around Baxter Springs in her entire life, and she's been involved in everything, the chamber, the museum. So she was talking about that. So I haven't had a chance to really dive into that and research it, but she said that these guys were better than professionals at the time, and that was the history there. So I can't wait to check it out and do some more research on it.
Well, you mentioned the museum, and this is one of the, it gets overlooked a lot. It's just off Route 66 there in Baxter Springs. But you have one of the most amazing museums. For small town museums, the Baxter Springs Heritage Center Museum, that is just almost shocking. How exciting that place is.
You know, I got to...
It's fascinating.
Yeah, and I volunteered there for the very first time. The museum director is actually in California right now for a Route 66 annual meeting for something. I don't know what it is. But I volunteered to help cover the museum on Thursday. And it was probably... It was the highlight of my year. One day, it was so fun meeting all the people. A lot of people are pulling in because of the eclipse. So we're just on their way to the eclipse sighting because we're going to get about 95% here. And then people are kind of working their way east just a little bit. And I got to meet some of the most amazing people. I had every single person that came through and toured the museum just spoke about how much information and how incredibly well put together our museum is. We've got three large rooms on the top, and then we've got the same amount of space down below in the second level below in the basement. And it covers everything from the Civil War to Route 66, Native American history, baseball history, mining history, you know, the Western side of it, there's like a kitchen down there of how they would have prepared meals back in the, you know, late 1800s. And I mean, there's just so much. You could easily spend all day, maybe 2 days there just in the museum alone. And I have to tell you this really wonderful little story, because this is what we do in small towns and especially in Baxter Springs. But we had a lady come in and she said, okay, I don't know if you can help me, but I have a specific request. And I said, well, this is my first day volunteering, so I hope I can. And she said, I was born here and I moved when I was three, but my grandfather lived here. So she was looking for a house that she grew up in, but she couldn't remember the address. And so I thought, okay, we have some yearbooks in the back, and we have some that are for sale that are extras. So we started there, and then I called the Historical Society president, and he said, well, I'll be right there. He was there within 5 minutes, and he was down in what we call the vault, looking up old phone book directories. And we found her dad in the 1943 yearbook, and we had two of those. She got both of those. She found out her dad he played football, and he had a nickname that was Cookie. And she cried multiple times. And then we gave her her old home address. She got to go on her merry way and explore some more. And it was just, I just still have goosebumps from that, because you don't get that kind of service anymore, but it was beautiful. So good.
Well, see, this is why I was so excited that you agreed to do this today. Your enthusiasm is infectious. And it's refreshing to see people who are excited about where they live and what they're doing. Yes. That's inspirational. I do have a question here for you. I found this article in the Post Tribune from March 31st, 1961, and it says a marker commemorating the Baxter Springs Massacre, the Civil War battle, it says is to be renovated and relocated. It will be removed from its location in the city to the site of the massacre north of town on a new section of US 66, which is now under construction. This may be a silly question, but is that monument still there?
You know, I don't know. I was hoping I had an answer to whatever question you were asking, but you said that was from 1961. I know that they, there were a lot of, this may be exciting or it may be gruesome to people, but the museum grounds on the outside, there's a little house or a little cabin that's up there that was original, and they put it on the grounds. There's a tank. There is a like a caboose, I believe, of a train. And there's a lot of little historical things. We've got artillery guns and cannon inside. So there's a lot of things out there. But apparently what's not there anymore is the bodies that were were there. They exhumed bodies, I believe, and they moved them to the cemetery that they created that had a military area. It's a very big, and it's not on Route 66, but it's up the road some. That's kind of my extent of knowledge for the Civil War history and what that entails. I know there is a statue, and I want to say it is the Quantrill
Traders.
Yeah, I believe there's a big, huge memorial, but I thought that was at the cemetery.
You know, it's a very real possibility that got relocated. I haven't seen the monument myself, and I've just been curious about it. It's something I guess I'm going to have to look for on my next trip.
Yes. And I'll be driving through the neighborhood, or I'll be driving out there to look for it later today.
It's all about inspiring people to look for things. That's the whole thing, is trying to...
One of the things that's happened recently, we've just got such a great, city here in Baxter, and we are on 13.2 miles on Route 66. We're one of three cities. We have Galena and then the unincorporated Riverton, which has the Riverton store, which is owned by Scott, and it has been around. It's actually celebrating in 2025, I believe, is celebrating its 100 year, its centennial. And then of course, Route 66 is doing their centennial, which is 100 years old, in 1926. It was originated. And then so in 2026, but we're expecting in this, I think everybody on Route 66 is anticipating 25 to 27 that will be just inundated with travelers, and we can't wait. And I know everybody is doing everything they can to make it memorable and exciting for people that are coming to the area. So we've only got 13.2 miles in Kansas, but we're going to make it memorable and something people do not want to miss.
Well, I have no doubt with that kind of enthusiasm, it's going to be something. You know, one of the things I'm really surprised that more folks aren't talking about, because, of course, I'm old enough to remember when we were celebrating the bicentennial. 2026 is also the 250th anniversary of the United States.
Wow, yeah, that's exciting. I think it'll be 150 in 2028. It'll be for Baxter, I believe, is 150 years. So, no, 170. My math is not very good today.
That's okay. It's early. The other thing about Route 66 trips, and a lot of the Route 66 enthusiasts are game, for little side trips, detours, all like out to Coffeyville or Totopa, Kansas there. Was that Highway 166, I think?
I believe.
You add a few little side trips. If I recall, a few weeks ago, you were going to take a little trip north to see a little bit of an attraction.
I travel a lot and do a lot of things. You're going to have to refresh my memory here.
The big shovel up
north. Yes, Big Brutus. Yes.
Yes, Big Brutus. Okay. That's it.
I had heard of Big Brutus, but we actually went to something called Gay Parita, which was an old, tell you what it was before, maybe a train station or something, but it's been redone into a little convention hall, and we had a fundraiser dinner there as our chamber. Our Baxter Springs Chamber, which is, not huge. We as a little town decided to support them by going to their fundraiser dinner. And so I got to see Big Brutus. They have a little RV park out there where you can stay around it, and it's big. And it's bigger than I ever would have imagined. It's the biggest piece of equipment that I've ever seen in my life. And it's really nice. They just touched up some of the paint on it to make it pop. But it was a very nice experience. They had this, you know, I guess this building, this Gay Parita place, they will have dances and, you know, just like they used to have back in the day where people will come in and just dance on the dance floor. They may have a band or, and then do catering. It's a really wonderful little town there. And I enjoyed it. It was really great.
That's just a little bit north of Galena, if I remember right.
Yes, Columbus. It's a little further than Columbus, which is, if you're going to do a side trip, if you're going to come this area, just plan on staying a few days because we have a wonderful, wonderful little, it's called the Little Brick Inn, and it's a bed or Airbnb that is peaceful and quiet. It's right on the main street here in Baxter, but it is so nice that you will want to stay for a few days, and then you're going to want to travel to Columbus for their history and Chautauqua and all of the little towns and communities. One of the things that I have made a personal commitment to over the last probably 5 or 6 years, when I travel, which I've traveled from the Midwest, Missouri to California and back in my 55 years, I've probably been about 50 times each way. And I used to stay, because I travel a lot by myself, I would stay at places like Comfort Inn and things like that. But in the last probably more like 7 or 8 years, I've made it a point to really pour my dollars into these little tiny towns and these little off the beaten path places, motels, restaurants, coffee shops, museums, any little business that I can support in these little towns, because they need it. People are staying in the mainstream and spending their money there. But these tiny little towns, we need to keep them. Their history is so enriching that we need to contribute to that. So, you know, you could just really spend a great amount of time here in this area and explore. We've got cliffs and rivers and lakes, and just, it's a great place to spend. And I'm going to keep growing with my time, and I'm going to say a week or two. So I went from a few days to a week or two. It's just so much to see and do and experience. You can't miss it.
When did the Little Brick Inn open? How long has that been open?
Well, it's in the downtown area, so it's been around for, I think, since the early 1900s. But it wasn't always the Little Brick Inn. The history, which is something that you get to find out when you walk into the museum or pretty much anywhere on the street, you can ask, you know, find some people that have such great history to share. But it was redone, the entire block on that little area. The entire block was redone several years ago, and they had a historical car museum, and they had just created this Little Brick Inn, which I don't know if that was the same name then, but that happened a few years before, like right before COVID. And then when COVID happened, you can imagine that nobody could come. And so that they lost steam, but they sold the property, and it was just acquired in the last few months, and they have so many incredible plans. They're going to put in a indoor playground, which is going to be massive and a great place for people to stay. There's a gym in there now. The theater is for sale right there on the end. So if anybody wants to, you know, put in a wonderful movie theater, we have a very refurbished and beautiful place there. We have room for two restaurants in that center that are available, but it is, the Little Brick Inn was just updated just this end of last year, beginning of this year. So it is beautiful. I got to see one of the things that they have that is really incredible that I was very impressed with was they have a room that is, they have a connected room for families, and I think they only have one, but it's a nice room, and there's king size beds in all the rooms now. So that's really comfortable. But it's a nice sized room with a king size bed looking out over on Military, but it's incredibly quiet. So you can't hear all the the noises, which is fabulous. But then there's another room. And then in that room, you have everything is elevated. Like the light switch is up high, the controls to the heater is up high, and there is no exit. So if you have small kids, you can take them with you and put them in that room. And you can, there's a bolt up top to lock them in there over, you know, like if you need to for, that sounds terrible, but it's so convenient as a parent that you don't have to worry about them going, having their own door to go out into the rest of the hotel. So I love that. I thought I would have loved that when my kids were little, you know, when I say that you can lock them into their room, but you can also lock your room so that they can't escape out and get lost somewhere because it is on a main road. So, but I love it. I thought that was brilliant.
Well, I'm glad it's reopened. That is, so a lot of places have escape rooms. So the little break in has a non-escape room.
Well, there you go.
That's the way they market that one. You know, a lot of people are taking the time to return to these kind of, it's a challenge in a lot of these small towns. We talk about Chautauqua, which is west of Baxter Springs. There's a little restaurant out there, name escapes me, but I just love that restaurant. But one of the problems in a lot of small towns now is services, restaurants, lodging, things of that nature. But if it's available and people know about it, you know, I'm finding that people are liking that experience. We have a gentleman with us today, Professor Nolan Stoltz. He finds the most obscure places to stay in some of the most obscure towns you can imagine in his Route 66 research. And he mentions here that he had stayed there at the Little Red Brick Inn back in about 21. This is kind of exciting stuff here. A lot of stuff's being refurbished in Baxter Springs. Are you seeing an uptick in investment?
I think that we're seeing people that are leaving other areas and seeking out small towns more, and they want to be a part of a community. I think,
yes,
you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think COVID, it was bad in a lot of ways, but I think it had some benefits. And I think what that tells people is they're seeking out a little bit slower lifestyle because they're realizing, and especially when people get older, you know, we realize that life is short and we need to slow down a little and enjoy you've got to live in the moment. If you want to have a good life, if you want to enjoy life, you've got to live in the moment and just make everything as curious or exciting. You know, you can choose to be excited about anything. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at people that work puzzles. I mean, it's working a puzzle, but you can get excited about it and find joy in it. So I think a lot of people are coming to these areas because they want to slow down in their life and be more, you know, in a community style area. And so that's great because it's bringing new lifeblood back to these areas. And yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. We just, there's a lot that's for sale. And I've noticed that in the last many years, actually, you're always going to have turnover. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful, wonderful restaurant here in town. It's called Van's Steakhouse. And when I first, we were looking at houses in Missouri, because my daughter lives there, and we were moving back to the area from California. And so we were looking in the area, but the housing market was just hopping. So we came to Baxter, and I remember driving by this restaurant. It's really not little. It's kind of good sized. And it says on the sign, it says lip smacking good vittles or lip smacking good vittles. And I thought, wow, I am in a time capsule. And it is my favorite place to eat, but it's for sale because they've been doing it for 40 years and they're tired and they want new blood to take it over. So they're asking an incredibly low price for it. So I'm just praying that a wonderful young couple comes in and doesn't change it a lot, but maybe they could throw Route 66 on the sign for me and then I'll be happy. But it buys that place because it's a staple, and I know they're tired. I mean, I'm there, you know, you get to a certain age, you're ready to relax and stay with family more. So I'm hoping that they can find some wonderful people to buy that, because it's amazing. But it's just, everybody's buying things, and it's good. It's good. Fresh material and people and a way of looking at things. It's just nice.
Well, you know, COVID changed a lot of things. The wheels kind of fell off the bus during COVID, and it did shake people up and have them start thinking about, what the hell am I doing here in life? As far as Van Steakhouse, if you'll send me the information on that, I will put out some feelers. We'll see if we can generate some interest and let people know that that's going up for sale. Because I know a lot of people are, and I shouldn't say young people, but I'll say 30 to 55, which is young from where I'm sitting.
Okay, but, I'm 55, so I'll take that.
Well, you're still a youngster, but there's a lot of people wanting it's nothing, not that there's anything really wrong with California. It's just they're, like you said, they're looking for more of the Norman Rockwell life, a little more meaning in their life, a little more less cold, less generic,
yes,
something warm. And so if you'll send me that information, we'll see if we can get that in circulation.
I love it.
Well, you know, it's you mentioned living in California. Did you have a Route 66 connection in California?
Jim, I have been connected to Route 66 my entire life and didn't even realize it, which is why I'm, you know, starting my YouTube and podcast on it. It is my, it's just, it's been in my life, my entire life, and I didn't even know it when I was young and I lived, you know, somewhere in Route 66. I lived in Montclair, Claremont. I lived in Rancho Cucamonga. I lived in Santa Monica when I got older and worked in Santa Monica. And I actually managed a restaurant for years that was called The Penguin. And it was The Penguin from years ago, a cafe. And then it was something else. And then it got bought by the company I worked for. And I ran that for about a year and a half. It's right there on the one, Santa Monica and the one. And so now it's a Mel's Diner, last I checked.
Ah, okay. Yes. I know the place.
But I managed that for a couple of years and didn't know the relevance of all of this. And when I was little, we moved from California to Missouri when I was about four, and we broke down in Needles. we stayed there with another family. We stayed in Needles for 2 weeks while we were getting our car fixed. And then I had a 31-foot C-Class. Me and my little dog drove back and forth. But I can remember when I was a kid, my mom and I and my sister would take road trips to California, because we lived in Missouri at the time, to go see family. And then we'd stop along the way. Two Guns, Arizona, that was always a stop we had to make because it just fascinated us. And I still stop there every single time I drive, because it's reminiscent. It's amazing that it's still there. I know there were some plans. I would love to see if that guy is still planning his RV park there, but there's so much history everywhere. It's just insane. And it just gets me so excited to look deeper into it. So I have just, I've been in the Route 66 family basically since, for as long as I can remember. It's insane.
You know, it's definitely a family that, you know, US 6, US 12, US 50, these are all interesting highways. They've got some great mom and pops, great small towns. But there's something, for lack of a better term, there's something magic about Route 66. It is a family. There's an enthusiasm. There's an excitement about Route 66. That's just, it's something you've got to experience. You cannot really actually describe it.
You really hit the nail on the head by saying magic. I know they say Disneyland is magical, but the Mother Road is magical for adults. I mean, I do know a few adults that are very Disneyland oriented, but that's my heart. I can't even tell you that just peeling away the layers, there's more and more and more layers with Route 66 that you find out. And I love the word history because it's really, it's his story or her story. And so the enjoyment is the story passed from generation to generation that I find is part of the excitement of the Route 66 experience too.
Well, you know, one of the things that amazes me, like I say, I've got a few years on you, but we traveled Route 66 a bunch. My earliest trip was 1959 that we took on 66, but I have trouble wrapping my head around the international fascination with Route 66. It just never ceases to amaze me. Like Marian Pavel's Route 66 navigation app, you know, he's a passionate Route 66 enthusiast. He has that Mother Road Route 66 passport, and his company Touch Media that started all this. He lives and is based in Bratislava, Slovakia. Mm-hmm. And it's mind boggling.
I have him scheduled for an interview, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to have him and pick his brain as I did with you. And I can't wait to post yours too.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Now you've got a podcast you're developing as well as a YouTube channel.
Well, so for me, I currently have, and this is not your audience that's on that right now.
Okay.
I currently have it started as a podcast. And then I just launched it on YouTube. So basically, when you record it, you just pull the audio from it and drop it into your podcasting software. So you have both. You know, I think you load your audio onto your YouTube, and it's just it's the opposite. You record the video, and you load the video, and then you pull the audio and drop it into the podcasting formats. And I have one now that's for women, but I just created my YouTube. I have my one subscriber, but I just did it just this week, and I have my videos that I'm getting ready to start launching this today and, or not today, tomorrow and this week. I have several interviews that I'm going to probably load all at once. It's fun. It's fun to get to find out what people's favorite parts of Route 66 are. It's fun to hear what they love about it because it's not the same as me, or it may be the same as me, but different. And I never really, I mean, I've been doing the research on it for about 5 or 6 years now or longer, but everybody's incentive or passion about it is a little different. It's a little different,
yes.
And it's fun.
Well, you know, we'll sure get some promotion going up. We'll on the next day or two up on the Jim Hinckley's America website, I will have information about this program and, of course, Baxter Springs and Route 66 in Kansas, and be more than happy to put up some links and plugs for your project.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Gotta get it launched.
You just send it along and we'll get it. We'll get
perfect.
It promoted.
Well, thank you. That'll be fun.
Do you work much with the folks up in Galena? Do you get a chance to work with those folks?
Well, so one of the things that we have going on right now is we have what we call a corridor meeting. So we are doing from Gay Parita or Avila to Afton, Oklahoma. So it's just this, our little chunk of, you know, Route 66, we are putting together plans for the centennial, what we're going to be doing as a group. In Baxter, we have our big festival of the year is Cowtown Days, which is always the first weekend in May. At least it's always been for a while. And then Galena has Galena Days. So, you know, we just want to make sure we don't overlap anything too much. So we have this corridor meeting that we meet with Joplin and so Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And we've got some really big plans. So through that, I've met a lot of people and network. G- Galena is really a great little town. They've done a lot of renovations, and they have a great museum there too. They have a wonderful little like a mercantile type place. And then I understand there's another one that may be going in soon. They have some great little restaurants in town that are cafe type or coffee shop style. They just have a lot of history there. So Baxter Springs was the first cow town in Kansas, and Galena was the first mining town, I believe. Yeah. So there's a lot right here in this little tiny area, a lot to see.
It was, of course, one of the largest lead and zinc mining districts in the world back around World War I in that area. It sounds like you're building a great team. I know Renee Charles pretty well. Yes. Up in Galena.
Yes.
Pat Tuttle over in Joplin.
Yes, that's who we meet with. Yep.
He Pat is a dynamo.
Yeah. Yes.
They're both dynamos. Do you know Reese Martin down at the Oklahoma Route 66 Association?
So I do not. We've met with people in Miami, and yes, I say Miami with an I because there's an I. I get a lot of correction, but I even when I lived here, I've never said Miami because just like I don't say tomato like my dad used to say. My dad used to get so frustrated because I would say Miami because it's spelled Miami. Anyhow, so yes, I've connected with people in the Miami Visitor Center and chamber and that area, but I haven't met anybody like in the Tulsa yet. I haven't gotten to Tulsa or Oklahoma City yet.
Well, I'll facilitate an introduction. Reese Martin is now the president of the Oklahoma Route 66 Association. Okay. And he's another one, like Pat Tuttle, a dynamic young man, and his wife Samantha is with, I believe, in city of Tulsa, working on a lot of the centennial initiatives.
Nice.
But they're all about building partnerships, and I will facilitate some introductions. I think you two would find a lot to talk about.
Love it. I haven't met anybody I haven't been able to talk a lot with.
Well, I've been accused of, I can talk for hours, even if I'm the only one in the room, and still enjoy myself.
Which is why we do YouTube and podcasting.
Yes, ma'am. I just really have always enjoyed staying in that area a lot. I find so much there. The mining history in that area is quite fascinating. Like we mentioned, it was a major lead and zinc during World War I, and still got a lot of that heritage there as well.
It is. And, you know, one of the reasons why I was really excited, I love Baxter. I was a little nervous with the history of Pitcher, Oklahoma, and the Trace, Kansas,
oh,
Oklahoma.
Yes.
I was a little nervous. That's definitely a side trip that you need to make. That was one of the things when I was working at the museum the other day, I was telling people that is definitely something you don't want to miss. And we do have information on it at our museum here in Baxter. But one of the things that I was a little nervous about was the mining underground, because there's a rumor that says you could go from Pitcher, Oklahoma to Joplin all underground from open mines. I mean, most of them are filled with water now, but Baxter Springs did not allow mining in the city limits, underneath the city. And I really thought that was impressive.
Yes.
So that was something that, I mean, I don't know. This is just his story, and information. But there doesn't appear to be any directly underground mines in the Baxter Springs area, which made me very happy. So, yes. And also comfortable to put my, you know, put a little more, made me feel more stable, I guess. So.
They've had some problems with that up in Galena, the old mines.
Yeah.
They've had some issues with buildings settling and things of that nature.
Yeah, there was actually, when they put in this new byway, they put in a new highway so that people could get to the interstate faster, which was kind of a waste of dollars in most of our opinions. But I guess they hit a little snag when they were putting in some of the support beams for one of the bridge, and it delayed it because it was there was a little bit of a little hole there that they had to take care of, but it's a little nerve wracking. One day.
Just keep, Just keep pouring concrete. It'll fill up sooner or later.
Eventually.
Nolan Stoltz asked about a tent camping in the park. Crazy Legs Walker Dean had told him about it. Is that still a possibility?
So you mean, okay, so there, you're talking about like at the museum or what?
He said, Nolan says, is there still tent camping in the park?
So we have what we call, we have several areas for RVs, or I'm assuming tents would be fine if we rent to RVs. There's no reason we couldn't have tents. Yes, there is a tent area on the other side of the river. But so we have an enormous river that runs through Baxter. It's called Spring River, and it's very big and beautiful and lots of great fishing. But down by the river, there is an RV park on either side. There's an RV park on one side, and I believe you could do tent camping on the other. And then we have disc golf and soccer fields and playgrounds and all of, you know, like huge area of track that you can have whatever you want. There's festivals that are held down there. We also have down the road a little ways. There is a, I think it's called Spring River RV Park. There's another area. I understand they do, you know, like Civil War encampments and things. So I don't know. Usually every 2 years from what I hear in the April-ish years. And I think they get quite a bit. And then there's been a lot of history that has been posted. There's a really great group, if anybody's interested, and I'm going to try to pull it up on my pull it up so I can give you, but it's called Ghost Stories, and I'm going to pull it up on Facebook. So it's on Facebook, and this young man has this ghost stories and surrounding areas, something that he's always putting great information, like, you know, photos from some of the buildings that are no longer there, a lot of history things for Baxter Springs specifically. And it's just a really, really great little ghost towns and mining camps of southeastern Kansas is what it is. But there was a huge, back in the early 1900s, he posts a lot of the information. There was a, they did a, like a festival with a, I'm trying to find it. They called it, there's so many great things on this, but it was kind of where I live. I live over by the golf course, and it just, there was a huge encampment of people that were celebrating in this area, like this part of town. It was the Reunion Park. It was Baxter Springs Reunion Park. And it was out here where all the homes are. It was kind of exciting to know that where I live, there was people that, you know, thousands of families stayed out here in camps, little tents and stuff. It was pretty exciting at Reunion Park. So that might be something to research next for a little layer.
Well, God bless. That's an interesting one. I got another one I'll throw in for you since you're digging down these rabbit holes. I found that I don't have any information, a name or anything, but apparently a resort was built in Baxter Springs, out by the mineral springs. And it was for many years in the late 1800s. Was where they held the annual reunion for the Grand Army of the Republic, Civil War veterans.
So I feel like we are somewhat on the same page, because this was the Reunion Park thing was, it's not far from Spring River on the, I'm not very good, I think it's the east side of town. And I think that's part of it. I mean, at one point there were mineral springs in the downtown area too. I don't know. I think it's very similar to, this is called Camp Logan, also known as Reunion Park. So I don't know. It's a reunion of the survivors of the Baxter Springs Massacre.
Right. There you go.
So, and there was 35,000 in 1910, and they were estimated to 50,000 in 1899. They had 100 acres for the camp, amphitheater. Yeah. So Fort Scott, Kansas City, and the Memphis Railroad. So anyhow, very interesting, but I think it's very similar because they had, I don't know though. I remember Mary saying something. Mary is the museum director and she would be a great one for that information. She has information on absolutely everything. Huh. It's insane. So if you haven't had her, you need to have her on. And it's not just Baxter Springs history. She is very well versed in and Galena and Columbus and all the surrounding areas. So,
well, we got to talk to her for sure.
Yeah. I'm the B team. She's the A team.
Like I say, the next day or so, I will have a blog post up on our website about Baxter Springs with information about the museum, about Big Brutus, the giant shovel. And we'll see if we can get some information about the restaurant for sale, the steakhouse. Yeah. See if we can put it all together in a nice little package and get that done. You know, I enjoy our conversations so much.
Me too.
I really appreciate you taking time from your Sunday morning to do this. And I hope we've inspired a road trip or two to Kansas.
Man, if they're not inspired, then, you know, I'm ashamed. And come and say hi when you get here.
And if you're looking for a restaurant, well, opportunity's knocking. It's in Baxter Springs.
Yes.
I have not been to Vans. I will have to put that on my list. I have a tendency to graze my way along Route 66.
Well, they're known for their chicken fried steak, which is, I mean, I can't not have chicken fried steak when I go there because, I mean, every time I go there, I love their chicken fried steak. Their gravy, it's a specific recipe, but they're known for their pies. Like they...
Oh, don't.
Yeah, their pies are the most famous. And I went in there, a friend of mine had a birthday. And so we went in there for the birthday. And she's like, I just want the chocolate pie for my birthday. So I bought her a piece of chocolate pie. And then they and then they're like, well, do you want pie? And I said, well, I really like pecan pie. But they're like, do you want it a la mode? I said, I've never had pecan pie a la mode. Is it, do you want to make it any sweeter? Okay, it was the best thing I've ever had in my whole life. Their pecan pie a la mode was probably, I shouldn't have done it because now that's all I can think of. I haven't had any more in 2 weeks, but let me tell you, it's going to be a once a month treat for me because it was so good.
I am a sucker for pie and cobbler. Now, the next time, I don't know if you're familiar, down the road, just down the road from you, in Vinita, Oklahoma, There's two great little cafes there, the Highway Cafe, Beth Hilburn, and Clanton's Cafe. Clanton's Cafe has been there, one family owned since the 1920s, and they have great chicken fried steak, but they also have cobbler, four berry cobblers and blueberry, blackberry cobblers. Oh my goodness.
I make a pretty mean cobbler. I'm a crust girl, so I like the cobbler because I get more crust and I put a lot of crust in it. So I have a question about Vinita. There's another restaurant there that does meats and things, I guess. They're actually going to bring an authentic chuck wagon to our Cowtown Days here in Baxter, which is May 3rd and 4th. It's 6 to 9 p.m. on Friday night, the 3rd. And May 4th, which is 9 to 5, and we still have some vendor slots open if anybody wants, contact the chamber. But we're going to have an authentic chuck wagon from the lady that owns the restaurant there, and the name escapes me right now, but it's going to be free samples. So if people have ever wanted to try an authentic chuck wagon food, it's going to be here at Cowtown Days this summer, and if you like less than a month. So
one more thing to ask of you, if you'll send me the information on Cowtown Days, I will get that added to the event section of the Route 66 navigation app. I worked with Mara and Pavel on the app, and I've got control. I handle all the updates on the event section.
Nice.
And I try to keep that going as much as I can.
Well, apparently we're having something new this year, which I'm excited about. We're going to have wiener dog races. And then we always have pie eating contests, and we always have, and we're going to do some old timey games and a free bounce houses for the kids. And it's just really, we're going to do free hot dogs, chips, and a drink on Friday night from 6 to about 8. We're having a band. It's just going to be so much fun, and free hot dogs, free chips, drinks, hot dogs Friday night. So come and feed your family for free, listen to music. And then we have two bands on Saturday. We're really just, we're trying to make this we're trying to get a little mechanical bull for the kids and the adults to ride, and just so much fun. So much fun. I can't wait.
You got me excited about Baxter Springs.
Well, I'll expect to see you here, Jim.
You know, it looks like unless something changes, which it does in my world on a regular basis, I'll probably head in that direction come October. I'm supposed to speak at the Miles of Possibility conference, and I've got some other engagements putting together my fall tour. And wow. Definitely give you a holler.
Well, you need to, we need to chat anyhow after this, because I the museum needs some additional, I mean, it's not my decision making, but we definitely need to get a few of your Route 66 books in there. I could have sold a few this week.
Well, I can do that. And then when I come through, I can deface them with a signature.
I love that. Well, we're hoping that you could send a few with a signature. And then you can also come and do like a, I would love that. That would be something really enjoyable.
Pamela, thank you so much for doing this morning. And you mentioned, you know, when you travel, and this is kind of, yes, this is advertisement time, but you mentioned when you travel, you like to stay at the mom and pops. And I got a couple to recommend for you if you're not familiar with. David Brenner, Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico. David's done an incredible job. That property was a condemned squatter's paradise. And when he took it over, he's got a big anniversary, 10 years, I believe it is, that he's brought that back to life and actually made it more than just a motel and time capsule. He's getting tremendous ratings and reviews.
It's beautiful. I've stayed there a few times, and it is absolutely beautiful, and I love it. And the inside, my favorite part of that is the lobby, because they have so many collectibles in there. You could spend hours. It's like a little museum. It's insane. Beautiful.
This is an opportunity calling again for some folks, but this is an interesting, the property there, the Roadrunner Lodge, the west side of the property, where it's like a one-story little L-shaped property. And then he has the two-story property next to it. It was originally two different motels. The west side was a 1940s motel. And then in the early 60s, some people built Leatherwood Manor. And then a few years later, they bought the other motel and they merged them together. And Brenner's long-term goal is to have the 1964 motel, and next door would be a 1940s motel. And another one that I highly recommend is in McLean, Texas, the Cactus Inn Motel and RV Park. Angela Moreland has done a wonderful job with this mid-1950s motel. And it's right next door. It's within spitting distance of the Red River Steakhouse, another place for great food, including pie. And then, of course, give a shout-out to Connie Eccles there in Cuba, Missouri. She's done an incredible job with the old Wagon Wheel Motel. I believe that is the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66.
I believe so.
Yeah. Pamela, thank you so very much for doing this morning. I've enjoyed the visit. And
me too. So fun.
We'll do this again, and we'll chat on the phone a bit. But we'll see if we can round up this information. I'll get some information on books for you.
Great.
And we'll see if we can get these events promoted as well.
Sounds great. I'm really excited. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Oh, it was truly my pleasure. I mean, I really enjoyed this immensely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, my friends, we're going to do this again next week, same time. And next week, we're going to do something a little fun for you. I have got Bobby Hockaday with us next week. He's with the Tucumcari Film Commission. And there's a little bit, my pa always said, better to fill your head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all. Some episodes of Rawhide with Clint Eastwood were actually filmed in the Tucumcari area, as well as some other movies. And Bobby has got a film festival coming up, And he is hoping to make Tucumcari, I guess, the next eastern suburb of Hollywood, shall we say. He's working on that. So that should be pretty interesting next week. I don't have anything on the 21st yet, but on the 28th, we're going to be talking to Reese Martin, the president of the Oklahoma Route 66 Association. And well, we'll have a little bit of fun, inspire road trips and things of that nature. Pamela, again, thank you very much. And well, I look forward to trying some of that pie a la mode. We'll sit down and chew the fat a bit when next time I come through Baxter Springs.
Sounds great.
Well, speaking of road trips, we'll get some music going here from, this is the Road Crew, Road Crew 66, Joe and Woody and the boys there. And their website is roadcrew66.com. Great road trip music. And I understand Pat Tuttle's got these boys coming. They're going to be playing in Joplin and in Galena.
Yes, in soon. Galena. Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Me too.
You're going to enjoy their music. My friends, until we meet again, vaya con Dios. Thank you, Pamela.
Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
My friends, I want to thank everybody who joined us today. And, well, like I say, we're going to do this again next week. And I hope to, you can join us then. And meanwhile, check out JimHinckley'sAmerica.com. Got lots of interesting things there and some great road trip inspiration. Adios, amigos. Bye-bye.